Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I am in studio today with Special Agent in Charge with the AG Office, Anthony Mays, and the Executive Director of the New Mexico Dream Center. And our listeners know it's going to be a heavy day, Shelley, because we're talking about minor domestic sex trafficking.
Right.
And it's something that I don't know that everybody wants to hear about, but I want them to hear about it because it's an amazingly difficult and it's a problem that I didn't even know about.
Right.
And yet it is very common and very scary.
Well, it is. And I think a lot of times when people think about sex trafficking, they really think about the trafficking that happens globally. So they think about things that happen maybe in Asia, in Eastern Europe. And I know for me, it was something where I had to realize that this was happening in my backyard. Mm-hmm. It was something that's happening in Albuquerque. It's happening around the state of New Mexico. And it's important for everybody to realize that it is happening to children. This isn't something that is just between adults and it's not a victimless crime. It is something that absolutely affects the well-being of children and teens. And so I'm super excited that you were able to lure Anthony Mays here. He's one of my personal heroes.
Thank you.
And he does so much in our state. And he's really, Jim, really, he's an unsung hero. He does so much to help promote those of us who are providing services. But then, honestly, he's in law enforcement. His job is to get the bad guys. And so we just really appreciate everything that Anthony does for our victims here.
Well, and Anthony, I'm compelled just knowing the tragedy of what you're investigating every day.
Sure.
Are you okay? I mean, this has got to be overwhelming to you. We need to pray for you. We need to, do you get a chance to decompress? I mean, this has just got to be overwhelming for you.
So part of a project that I'm on, I've been actually, I actually helped develop the curriculum nationally, is through the Innocent Justice Foundation. It's mm-hmm. called SHIFT. And it's to support heroes that are working in as first responders that are maybe experiencing vicarious trauma from some of these types of cases. So some of the things that I do, and it's therapeutic for me, is I actually work with other officers and other first responders around the country. And it's not just in the United States. Also, I was in Canada last year working with those folks. So it is a real problem. We've seen an increase of suicides among first responders and because of dealing with these issues directly. So part of my mission is actually to help those individuals as well.
Well, thank you for doing the investigations, heading up this, providing some care for the first responders. It's just an amazing thing that you're doing.
And thank you.
Shelley, you've got a lot of primary exposure to a lot of kids, and homelessness is obviously the core of the problem. Talk to us about, I mean, I can't imagine how hard it would be just to be homeless, but to be a youth that is homeless, that's where this all starts, right?
Right. Yeah, when we first started, we were working with human trafficking clients who were adults, and we realized that the predominance of our clientele all started their trafficking experience as homeless teens, and that they were basically exploited as this vulnerable teen on the streets. It's not the only way that somebody would end up in a trafficking situation as a minor, but in Albuquerque and kind of with who our clientele are, that's a lot of what we see. So when we realized those ties, we decided we needed to do something to provide some resources for those homeless teens. There's a lot of barriers to a homeless teen. They can't get food stamps as easily as an adult can. There's not as many shelters that are open. And in fact, the shelters that are available, there's a limited number of beds. So there's not a ton of beds. And then you have to have a parent or guardian check you into that shelter. So there's all these like kind of layers of barriers that happen that create this vulnerability in a homeless young person. And so what we did was we started the Harbor, which is a drop-in center for homeless youth. And so you don't have to, you don't have to check in. You don't have to kind of go through a bunch of red tape to be able to access services. You can walk in and you can meet with a case manager and you can get some food and you can take a shower and you can do laundry and you can get clothes and all of those basic things to hopefully help alleviate some of the vulnerability that we see there on the streets in Albuquerque. So that's what we do. And in fact, when I first began providing services to human trafficking victims, that's when I first met Anthony. Can I tell a super funny story? I don't know if Anthony even remembers it. But back when I was on staff at a church and I found out about human trafficking, I'm like, I've got to do something. And I'm not sure exactly what to do, but we started an outreach program that was actually in strip clubs. It's this program still going on today. It's strip clubs in Albuquerque. And so we would have these groups of women who would go in and they'd bring gifts for the dancers there in the hopes of kind of building relationship, because I think God does everything through relationships these days. And so they would be able to talk to and build trust with these dancers and be able to offer them some opportunities to exit that if that's something that they would choose. So anyway, so I'm thinking everything's going fine. And then I get this call from the attorney general's office from this chick. And she's like, hey, so I would like to hear more about your program. And I'd like you to meet with Anthony Mays. He's blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I am in trouble. I did not do something right, and I don't know what I even did wrong. So I end up going to this meeting expecting to apologize and asking not to be arrested because I just really didn't know what would happen. And out of it actually came this friendship and really just a great amount of respect that I have for Anthony, and was able to hear what the Attorney General's office was doing and how the state of New Mexico got a grant to really look at the big picture of human trafficking in New Mexico and what we can do to try to put some solutions around that.
If you've just joined us, we are talking with Anthony Mays. He is the special agent in charge with the State Attorney General's office. And Shelley Rep, she is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. And we are talking about minor domestic sex trafficking. And Shelley, I want you to frame something for us. We have as many as 10,000 homeless people at any one time in Albuquerque, and as many as half of them are underage. Is that correct?
So what we're looking at, because it's really hard to count the homeless population. So I always get super nervous around numbers because, you know, numbers are hard with a transient population. Mm. But we're going off of back, you know, 4-6 weeks ago, Tim Keller was our mayor, was talking about the homeless problem in Albuquerque, and his estimate was 10,000. And so what we did is we took that number, and then we took the number that was provided to us by New Day Youth and Family Services, which has been providing services to homeless runaway youth since like 1976, since before some of your listeners were born. And not me, not Anthony, not you, but some of them. Anyways, and so they have talked about their estimate as being between 5,000 and 6,000 homeless youth within Albuquerque. And so we look at this as a huge crisis. And not only is it a crisis because homelessness is a crisis and people see that, but we would consider it a hidden crisis because a lot of times you don't notice those homeless teens. You don't notice those homeless kids. Their homelessness looks a little bit different. They hide a little bit more. And even those that don't hide don't always look like the average teenagers that you see walking down the halls at a high school.
Mm. We have a lot more to talk about this afternoon with Anthony and Shelley. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
We have so much to be thankful for in our great nation. We at Right to Life Committee of New Mexico want to wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving as we celebrate life.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
9 out of 10 American households own a Bible, yet only 14% of adults engage with the Bible daily. The need for proper renewal is obvious in our country and in our churches. And that's exactly what we want to help you experience by sending you an encouraging resource from Lenya Heitzig called Sheology, A Quiet Time Journal. Listen to Lenya.
I know what it means to have a dry period of time with the Lord, but I know that can change. That's why I've written this Quiet Time Journal. I invite you to put it in your routine. It'll make a difference. The year 2020 can mean a new day for you.
A Quiet Time Journal has a daily Bible reading plan, a weekly prayer focus, a monthly meditation, plus space for you to journal your prayers. We'll send you a copy of Sheology as thanks for your gift today of $35 to this media ministry. Call now, 800-922-1888. Or you can give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
Relationships are one of God's most precious gifts to us. Hi, I'm Bob Lapine. Each day on Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, we look at what Jesus described as the two most important commandments, loving God and loving each other, especially in our family relationships. Join us each weekday on KNKT-FM for Family Life Today to develop godly marriages and families that change the world one home at a time.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are talking about a heavy subject this afternoon on ABQ Connect, minor domestic sex trafficking in our fair city of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the surrounding area. We have the special agent in charge of the AG's office, Anthony Mays, in studio, and the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, Shelley Rep. Welcome. I like you guys a lot, but this is a tough subject.
I know.
This is, wow. I'm overwhelmed just listening to you, Shelley, talk about what's happening. What are the contributing factors? Why? It's like everything is going against these young people. They kind of hide because they don't want to be discovered by their parents.
Right.
They don't want to fill out forms and do all of that kind of thing. So you're really trying to help them and minimize how much information you're getting about them, it sounds like.
Right. We, you know, whenever you're working with kids, you have to follow the rules. You know,
That's
you have
right.
to follow the law. But what we've seen, and we've actually worked really closely with CYFD in the development of our program, is that when you're a homeless teen, you kind of fall into two categories. You're a runaway. So that means you've left home by your choice because home is not someplace you feel you can safely stay. Mm. Or you're a throwaway, and a throwaway is a teen that has been literally kicked out by whoever in their home, their mother, their father, or whoever they're living with, grandparents, something like that. And so both of those are really, really difficult situations for a teen to deal with. We've talked to many who have said it's actually easier for them to be on the street than to be in the home because of the abuse that's in the home, or because of, you know, other like drug abuse in the house, things like that, that there's no food in the home. What, you know, we've had some people who would ask us, well, you know, what about those teens that are just, you know, they're angry and rebellious at their parent, you know, towards their parents. And so they're just out there because they're mad. And what we see, and Anthony, you can tell me if you see this, but if you're a kid that actually comes from a fairly stable home and you run away, because that does happen, you do not spend more than one night on the streets in Albuquerque before you turn around and you go back home, because it is cold and it is dangerous and it is drug filled. And so it is not something that we see that teens that feel like they've actually got solid homes will stay out on the streets. It is the kids literally who cannot go home because it's dangerous, or cannot go home because there's not a home to go to. We've got a couple of clients who are not related that have come to the harbor. They're not 12 anymore, but their homelessness started when they were 12 years old. And both of them came from families where the parents were addicted, parents lost housing, they ended up on the street. And both of them did end up falling into substance use themselves, because I'll tell you what, it sucks to be out on the street. And so you numb. You do things that you wouldn't necessarily do if you had support and care around you to kind of take the edge off. So that's where a lot of the drug use starts, and then it continues from there. And then because you can't access things that you need, a lot of them will survive by what we would call survival sex, which means that you will sell yourself to be able to get a place to stay, or clothes, or food, warmth, something like that. And that is an entryway, obviously, into trafficking, into a trafficker entering into that situation as well.
Anthony, this is terrifying stuff. Hector Balderas is our attorney general of the state of New Mexico, and you work underneath his administration. Well, it's amazing what the AG's office, according to your website, which is nmag.com, so people can go to that website to find out more information about this. How is the AG's office, as part of your mission, partnering with individuals, community organizations, government agencies to try to address this problem?
Well, we are working with all service providers, of course, in the community to educate them on what to look for. And that's done through outreach, one-on-one contact. Just to give you an example, the first part of this year, we know trafficking's occurring at truck stops. And I invited Truckers Against Trafficking to come down, and actually had them here about 4 years ago, working with the trucking industry. And I asked them to come down again at the beginning of this year. And I brought in all the truck stop owners, truck drivers, anyone that drives a truck on the road. And we brought them into one location. And then I also invited law enforcement in addition to some service providers. And we talked about the real problem out there, the trafficking problem that we're seeing. Because many, many times these runaway teens will be eventually taken by someone, a trafficker, and then they'll take them to a truck stop and have them go to, from truck to truck offering sex acts.
Oh, gosh.
And so many times the truckers will just say, you know, get away from me, leave me alone, and they'll ask them to leave. And so we want them to take the next step and actually call in and notify. So we spent this day with the truckers, training them and telling them what the real problem is and how not to use derogatory terms towards these individuals and how they can help.
Mm.
And by that being done, I mean, we've seen an increase in tips. We've had tips being called into the National Human Trafficking Hotline. And in turn, the National Human Trafficking Hotline has called me. And then I have a task force through the entire state. And I'll contact the jurisdiction where the truck stop is. And I'll have someone respond immediately.
What is a phone number, Anthony, that people should call if they suspect some of these kinds of things are happening?
Well, there's the National Human Trafficking Hotline is actually Polaris. And that phone number is 1-888-373-7888. Or they can text Be Free. So again, 888-373-7888. And that's the National Human Trafficking Hotline. Now, they can also call if a child's being trafficked and a child's under the age of 18 in our state. They can call the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and they can also remain anonymous, and they can do, and they can actually report online.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 1-800-THE-LOST, and that's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. Anthony, how hard is it to prosecute people that get caught doing this type of thing?
Well, it can be difficult because many times the person that's being trafficked, it's, they're intimidated by the individual. They don't want to come forward. And it's just difficult for them to actually talk about what actually happened to them.
Mm.
So it can be difficult, but we're very, very aggressive. And of course I'm with the state attorney general's office, and the attorney general's office has dedicated prosecutors to go after the traffickers.
Mm-hmm. Shelley, and maybe this is also a question for Anthony. If there is someone that's listening that may have been involved in trafficking, as a victim, and they're listening to this program, what should they do? Should they be afraid of retribution and this type of thing, or can they be protected and taken out of that situation? And
so I'll start, Anthony, and then
okay.
You jump in. So what we've seen is that we've had, gosh, many times I've been at a conference or something, and I've had a woman walk up to me and say, hey, this happened to me when I was, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, or their early 20s or something like that. And they somehow got their way out of it, you know, through help or whatever it was, but they didn't ever recognize it as trafficking. If it's somebody that's in that case, you know, I don't know if there's a statute of limitations where they could come forward and talk with someone. I don't know, Anthony, if that's the case. I would say for sure it would be helpful for them to connect with somebody who can help them with counseling or therapy, because there's just a lot of emotional and psychological things that just happen to you when you are a trafficking victim. Now, if it's something that's happening right now, like let's say you didn't realize that and maybe your family is trafficking you, or, you know, maybe you see it in a neighbor's house or something that looks suspicious, then I would say the best thing to do would be to go ahead and call for help. Anthony's, you know, kind of given a number for Polaris, which is the national hotline that then kind of dribbles down to the different states and jurisdictions.
Does that happen pretty quickly if you call that line?
So I'm glad you brought that up. So what I recommend, if it's something that's immediate, call 911.
Call 911,
okay.
Absolutely.
So whatever jurisdiction they're in, because quite honestly, if it goes through a hotline, it's going to take some time to be filtered through. They're going to do intelligence on it, try to determine geographically where this call is coming from, and then send it out to the task force, which would be my task force. And then we'll send it out. So I recommend call 911.
Yes.
The dispatchers around the state, law enforcement knows around the state, if they need assistance, to give me a call, and we'll get them the assistance they need. And then they can do a secondary call to a national reporting hotline as well. Mm. So make sure that it does get to us.
Yep. I agree. That's exactly right. Cause it's important, especially if you see it or you're in it, that you call and you get help right away. With that. But again, it does help if you make that second call to Polaris or to the state agencies around that, for sure. I think there's always a concern because this is an illegal activity. So there's always going to be a concern around safety. I know, having worked with law enforcement pretty extensively around several clients, we've got a good system, but we need to be aware. You just have to be wise about it. If you're going to get in trouble and your trafficker is going to know that you called, don't call right now.
Right.
You know, you have to be wise about the kinds of decisions that you make, but 911 would definitely be the way to go. And, you know, there was a thing on Facebook or whatever where a woman was a victim of domestic violence and she called 911 and started to act like she was like calling for pizza or something like that. And she's like, I need to order this and this. And that operator was able to recognize there was something strange going on with that. So there's creative ways that you can call for help. What we don't want is we don't want to put somebody in a situation where they end up dead because they're like, oh, hey, I'm just going to call 911 right now, you know, and report. We want them to do it in as safe as way as possible.
Right.
It seems to me somebody that would endanger a child doesn't care too much about human life. So we're going to be back to talk more about domestic sex trafficking in Albuquerque. Anthony Mays with the AG's office and Shelley Rep from the New Mexico Dream Center in studio. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
This is Pastor Scott Tom. Are you new in town? Looking for a church? Visit us at Cross Christian Fellowship. We have verse-by-verse teaching, casual dress, and contemporary worship. There are great opportunities for community and service. We are located just north of Osuna on Edith. For more information, visit crossfellowship.org. See you at the cross.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with online classes from Veritas International University. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule while working toward a certificate or fully accredited undergraduate or graduate degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Select teachings from the Bible from 30,000 feet are now part of the distance learning curriculum at Veritas International University with online classes from Pastor Skip Heitzig, including Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, Genesis, and Revelation. When you complete the Bible from 30,000 feet curriculum and connect with Calvary College, you'll receive a special certificate from Calvary Church. Through Veritas, you can take online, fully accredited classes working towards a bachelor's, master's, or PhD. The spring semester is quickly approaching. For a full list of classes and to enroll, go to viu.ves.edu. That's viu.ves.edu.
More than once during his earthly ministry, Jesus encountered the worldview that characterizes our modern age, the scientific perspective that demands visible proof before one will believe. Jesus' detractors even demanded that he perform miracles in order to give them a reason to believe. And one of his own disciples, Thomas, demanded to see the wounds from Jesus' crucifixion before he would believe in the resurrection. Jesus didn't criticize Thomas' desire for evidence, but he did say this: "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." If you haven't yet believed in Jesus, open your heart first, then let God open your eyes. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's reasons to believe on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect this afternoon. Special agent in charge of the New Mexico State Attorney General's Office and Human Sex Trafficking Task Force and Internet crimes against children, unbelievable stuff. Anthony Mays in studio and Shelley Rep, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. Sorry, I'm trying to say that too fast, Shelley. I'm trying to keep up with you, Shelley, because you can talk fast.
I can talk fast. I'm sorry. I'm trying to dial it down. I realize that I am a speed talker, but you have a lot of New Mexico things, you know, between the two of us, there's lots of New Mexico in there for all the stuff. Sorry
about
that.
But you know
what?
I mean, we are ABQ Connect and we reach out to areas outside of Albuquerque, not real far, but our other station, Star 88, was the first contemporary Christian music station in the country. And is all over the state of New Mexico.
Yeah. Oh.
And so a lot of young people listening to that station, a lot of old people like me too, but a lot of young people listening to contemporary Christian music. And we just love New Mexico. And
yes.
I think just barely knowing Anthony in the time we've been here in the studio. And Shelley, I've known you a really long time.
Yeah.
I've known
Jim since the 80s.
That's right.
And you were older than me, so.
But I think you, do you have grandchildren now, Shelley?
Yes, two.
So you're older than me. But what is it, 6 years for every grandchild?
All right, you win.
Just teasing. No, Shelley and the Rep family, her husband Dan and his brother, have been longtime friends. And Shelley, when I found out you were involved in this, and again, just shocked, off air, we're talking with Anthony briefly about the Human Trafficking Task Force and some other work that he's been doing for 10 or 11 years. Anthony, you've been in the middle of this for a long time. Tell us kind of your background and what's happening.
Sure. So I've been in law enforcement for 31 years. Mm-hmm. I started with the Albuquerque Police Department back in 1988. So I was actually there, retired after 20 years there. Came to the Attorney General's office and started the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. It's been about 11 years now. And the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force actually goes after child predators online. We do both reactive and proactive investigations.
Now, you hear that. You hear about that happening. Is that still happening a lot?
It's happening quite a bit, actually. So just to give you an idea, when I started the task force 11 years ago, we were seeing an average of 10 tips a month from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Because under federal law, all social media platforms are required to notify the National Center if a child's being exploited online. And so about 11 years ago, our state was seeing about 10 tips a month on an average. Mm-hmm. And I had about six agencies in the entire state that were actually working these types of cases where children are being exploited. That would include child sex trafficking, child tourism, where individuals are traveling somewhere to meet a child. And any time a child's being exploited or groomed online, they're supposed to be identified and again report to the National Center. Now it's 11 years later, I have over 90 agencies, federal, state, military, and tribal, that are under my jurisdiction as the Regional Task Force Commander, and we see an average of 120 tips a month.
Oh.
So, as you can imagine, they've gone up more than 200%. I mean, that doesn't include the call-ins that we're seeing in addition to anything else that comes in from other task forces around the country. So keep in mind that if a child is being exploited or groomed here in our state, the predator may be in Texas or as far as Maine. So we have 60 other task forces, or actually 59 other task forces throughout the country that do the same thing that I do, and we work together. So if we have a predator in Maine, all I have to do is call the commander there and say, look, I have somebody there in your backyard. I have the victim in my backyard. I need your assistance. Mm. We work together.
Wow.
So it's something that we've done for a number of years now, and it's been very successful. And again, our catching these predators is our highest priority. Now, we've developed in 2015, the Attorney General asked me, so what are we doing with sex trafficking, and I explained to him what we're doing on the ICAC side, Internet Crimes Against Children, and he said, let's take care of the adults too. Mm. And let's take care of the state. So we applied for a grant in 2015 and we were awarded that grant. It's a collaborative grant, which means that we collaborate with victim services. It's a victim-centered service grant, which means providing services to victims is our primary objective for rescuing them. Which is why Shelley and I work so close together, because of her amazing organization, everything that they do, and all the children that we come across. And we started developing that task force. So I've developed that since 2015. I have 69 agencies on that side. Mm. And they work both adult and child sex trafficking.
Are these 69 agencies throughout the state of New Mexico?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. There's a lot of people that have this in their sights and they're working on it. A little bit off script here.
Okay.
What do you need the churches to do? What do you need the individuals listening to this program to do? How can they help?
Do you want
to? Well, I mean, some of the things that we've talked about is that human trafficking is in plain sight. Mm. And sometimes we miss that. It could be the child that's going to your church and they're being physically and abused or even trafficked by their own parents. So being the eyes and ears, that's what we ask the community to do.
There's a case that you just prosecuted where the people were arrested and the
yes.
two children were saved out of that situation.
Yes, and we recently got a conviction on that for labor trafficking.
Mm.
So those indicators, I mean, we see that the homeless population in our state is very high, not just in the metro area. And that being said, we're seeing families out on the street asking for food, asking for money. And in some cases, we see children standing by themselves asking for food, asking for money. Question that. Mm-hmm. Get the authorities involved. Let us make that decision. Even if it's not actually trafficking, we want to look at it either way.
Mm-hmm.
We'd rather look at something instead of not looking at it. So we ask for the public to be the eyes and ears. So the faith-based community, they've been very supportive. We've actually done a lot of presentations at various churches throughout the state. And they've done great looking out for us. And then in addition to that, they've done great gathering donations
mm-hmm.
and helping the nonprofits, like Shelley's nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
because unfortunately the funding's not always there.
Yes. Shelley, how about the funding? What do you need?
$1 million?
Yeah.
Is it okay to ask for that?
You know what? I got to tell you, our God is gigantic.
He is a gigantic God.
And he can
God,
do whatever we need him to do.
Right.
Obviously people get uncomfortable when we talk about money. But the fact is that this is very expensive. You have largely a volunteer organization.
Yes. So for my organization, we're 99% volunteer run because mm-hmm. we're a newer organization. And so we are still building programming and building capacity and all of those things. We're pretty young in this. And so we do need physical donations. Like we, at our drop-in center, we give out clothing and shoes. And then because there's not enough resources, we've got young people who come in who are going to need a sleeping bag. They're going to need a tent because there's literally not a place for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we always need those kinds of things. It is important, especially as we kind of get towards that end of the year, that we need money like any other organization as well, because we have to do the same thing where, you do have to pay people, you have to pay staff costs. You do have to, pay for your facilities.
How do people get in touch with you?
So they can go to our website, nmdreamcenter.org, and I have a fat, happy donate key at the top of my page. It's super easy to find. We are happy to take donations in that way. We also try to do tours of our facility on our off hours with people in the community so that they can really get an idea of what we have to offer and how it can benefit that homeless population
here
in Albuquerque.
Facility?
So we're located off of East Central. Our address is 126 General Chenault Northeast 87123. So essentially Zuni and Central in that area right there. So we're in a key area where there's a lot of homelessness. There's a lot of, sometimes people affectionately call it the war zone. we see a lot of things out there on the streets, and we want to be a light for the people that are out there and be able to shine that light, that there's hope, that there's a way out of the homelessness, out of the exploitation, that there's hope there. So we definitely can use people help, physical help, and monetary help.
Lots more questions for Shelley and Anthony. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. More about minor domestic sex trafficking after these messages. Stay with us.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520. Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a safe, loving home for children who have had so little and need so much. We feed, clothe, house, and share God's love with the children who have been missing those necessities in their young lives. There's no charge for the care at ACCH, and children can stay with us as long as they need our help. You can help by making a secured, tax-deductible donation today at acchkids.org or by calling 898-5520. And thank you.
for blessing the children.
Psalms 107:8 says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love." The family at AM Tax Solutions want to wish you and yours a happy Thanksgiving. Remember, every problem has a solution, and AM Tax Solution can help.
Ladies of Calvary, get ready for the annual Winter Gala and Lovely Market. Join Sheology Women's Ministry for Feliz Navidad with inspiring speaker, author, and mentor Debbie Alsdorf on Tuesday, December 3rd. The Lovely Market will be open at 3 p.m., so come early and take care of your Christmas shopping. Tickets must be purchased in advance and are available online at calvarynm.church. Come with expectant hearts for a fun-filled evening. We look forward to celebrating the season of Jesus' birth with you.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
From the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford, thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I'm in studio with New Mexico Dream Center Executive Director, Shelley Rep, and Anthony Mays, the Special Agent in Charge with the State Attorney General's Office. And I'm going to go right to Anthony. Anthony, you work with Hector Balderas, and this is a little bit off script, but Hector is a politician. And he's really trying to work with both sides of the aisle. Shelley mentioned in an earlier segment that we're not having a lot of response from legislators because they don't necessarily believe that this is happening as prevalently as it can be. I'm going to just ask you directly, what do we need our legislators to do to help out with this problem? What kind of laws need to be passed? What kinds of things could really help the AG's office?
Well, we actually have a legislative committee in the Attorney General's office that works on those laws. Mm. So I can't comment too much. I can't really comment on the laws.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, first of all, I know you believe that Republicans and Democrats should be addressing this issue from a bipartisan perspective.
Yes.
I mean, this is something that's affecting all of us. We just need to stop it.
Right.
And there needs to be some dire consequences for the people involved in it. So I guess I'm overwhelmed with why would men, I'm assuming it's primarily men, be interested in having relations with a child? Is that just increasing? Is there any research that says why this is happening?
So what we're seeing, and again, working on the Internet Crimes Against Children side, we've seen that a lot of the adult pornographic sites have now catered more to young. So a lot of it has to do with the models of the people they use there. They have to be young, so they're catering to that. And they're actually, you're seeing more of incest, more things dealing with younger women or younger young children. Even though they're pornographic sites that are not actually showing child pornography, they're giving that impression that that's acceptable behavior.
Oh God!
And so we're seeing that. We get a lot of reports on those as well, of course, and we look at them immediately. And if we determine that a site does show child pornography, they're shut down.
Mm.
For example, about a year and a half ago, you remember about Backpage. Backpage was actually promoting escort services, and they denied that, but that's what they were doing. We've seen prostitution move to online, escort services to move online, and so that's where the promotion is taking place. They're using young cells for them, and so we've seen an increase with that. So, working like as I mentioned earlier, we've seen we went from 10 cases to over 110 to 120 cases a month that we're looking at. Those are children that are being exploited by adult males online,
oh god,
and wanting to meet them to have sex. And when that takes place, they end up getting trafficked. Because under our state law, trafficking doesn't mean they have to be moved from one location to another. Under state law, it can occur in a room or in a motel room or in a vehicle. That's trafficking if a person's being held for services. And then we look, of course, for force, fraud, and coercion if they're adults. But with children, we don't have to see that. We don't have to have those three elements to the crime.
Well, I'm going to ask both of you, we're talking about some sad things, but I know there's some great victories too.
Sure.
Talk to us about those victories that you're finding.
So what we've seen is some clients who have been able to speak up about what's happened to them and feel like they've got their power back. You know, one of the things that's so common about trafficking is that you don't have the power to make decisions. And a lot of times when we first start working with a client, they like literally, we stopped taking them into like Target or Walmart to pick their own like shampoo or something because they couldn't, because it was so overwhelming for them. And so when we talk about victories, there are things that we take for granted as, you know, everyday citizens who aren't living this kind of lifestyle. But being able to make choice about where you live or how you live is a huge, huge victory that we would see. The other thing I would say is for us, you know, one that we're working with right now is that we had a young mama who came to the harbor and started accessing services there. She had been trafficked by her boyfriend. And they had a young child, and the child ended up in CYFD custody, which was very appropriate because she was homeless. And let me just tell you, that girl worked so hard to be able to get an apartment, to be able to do all the things she needed to do so that her little kid could come back and live with her. And so when you see the bad that's out there, know that there is good as well, that there are things where people are determined to work to get to the place where they can get the resources that they need. And that's really where we step in for my agency is helping them take those next steps to feel like they can be whole again. They can make their own decisions around their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because, you know, you see some people who've been homeless for years and years, right, Anthony? Like
right.
Chronic
oh,
homelessness,
yes.
And it can suck you in. So yes. To be able to step out from that, step out from exploitation is a huge victory in my eyes.
Mm. I agree. I see that with, we see a lot of rewards out of this, of course. I mean, that a lot of the children that we're able to rescue and then of course with the services that Shelley is able to provide, because we all work together as a team. I mean, we're able
right.
to catch the bad guy and find that child. I remember in one case, it's been a couple of years now where we were able to rescue a child and I spent hours in the back of a police car with her, mm-hmm. you know, giving her her first meal that she's had in 8 hours, you mm-hmm. know, giving her her first toy and then seeing that same person years later and they're just happy and they're a normal child again. Mm. I'll never forget my team, when we had a pretty horrific day. We had served a warrant in the morning and were able to determine that this person was a predator and they had done things to their own family members. And then that afternoon, we ended up rescuing two other children all in the same day in a different part of the city. And it took a toll on my team. The next morning I came in and they all said, you know, boss, yesterday was a tough day for us.
Yes.
But we made a difference. And I saw it in their eyes. I mean, it's just, it's something that being a cop for 31 years, it's just seeing that and the satisfaction of seeing that child finally say, well, finally someone's listening. Someone's there for me.
There's a lot of evil in the world.
There is.
And I think most people don't really actually realize what evil is. Sometimes we think the enemy is here to just trip us up a little bit. Yet the Bible says he's here to steal, kill, and destroy.
Absolutely.
And we're not, most of us, ever confronted with steal, kill, or destroy. But the few of us who have been in those situations, it is an overwhelming feeling when evil is upon you.
Right.
And yet, you know, you train people how to be aware of their surroundings. You're asking people to be aware of what's going on with children that they see. What are some of those things that you train people to do? And you know what? I'm going to have you answer that. We have to take a break. We're going to be back to talk more with Anthony Mays and Shelley Rep right after these messages.
The Winter Movie Marathon at Calvary Knob Hill. Bring a new unwrapped toy for children in need and join us for 14 hours of some of your favorite movies. It's all happening Saturday, December 14th at 10 a.m.
Hey, you didn't say which movies you're going to be showing.
Oh, I'm actually not allowed to say on the radio.
Well, can you say things like, I am your father?
No.
What about, I find your lack of faith disturbing?
No, not that either.
These aren't the robots you're looking for.
That's not even the right line. Look, all I can say is they take place a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. We'll be showing episodes 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Stay for the whole thing or just for one of the films. The toys we collect go to children in our community who wouldn't otherwise have a Christmas. Saturday, December 14th at 10 a.m. I'll see you there.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
I love you.
I know.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
Black Friday shines brightest at Crown Jewels and Coin. During their 7-hour sale, November 29th, get diamond studs for $149, engagement rings for $199, and all fine jewelry, including Native American, for up to 70% off. No credit check. Interest-free financing also available. Don't wait until the last minute. Get your shopping done. Get exactly what you want for the price you could afford this Friday at Crown Jewels and Coin for all you treasure. San Mateo, north of Candelaria.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Anthony Mays. He is the special agent in charge of the AG's office when it comes to human sex trafficking and minor domestic sex trafficking. And Shelley Rep with the New Mexico Dream Center. Their ministry specializes in helping young people, minors. And there's all kinds of contributing factors. We started with homelessness. Then there's the fact that these kids a lot of times want to hide. They don't want to be registered in the system. They don't necessarily want to be returned to their home. They're
right.
Maybe even have committed some crimes, so they don't want to get arrested.
Yep.
And really, it's a fight for survival, isn't it, Shelley?
It really is. It is a fight for survival. And, you know, as a young person, you know, your brain isn't all the way developed in understanding sometimes the decisions that you make. And that's a hard road to walk. But really what we want to do is we want to be able to create pathways, for homeless teens into services so that they can get the kinds of services that they need. Especially, you know, it's like, I think we're supposed to get snow this week sometime. I saw that on the, you know, little weather app on my phone. And that's really concerning, because if you're not in a place where you can stay warm, what are you going to be willing to do so that you can have a warm place to stay at night? And I think for, you know, a lot of our younger homeless people, you might do something that you would normally not do, because it's going to be so very, very cold.
Shelley, your email, or not email, but your web address is nmdreamcenter.com.
.org.
Okay,
org.
So nmdreamcenter.org.
Yes.
And there you can make financial donations. You can find out where you're located.
Right.
Give us your address again. 126 General Chenault.
Northeast. Absolutely. 87123.
That's where, like, Zuni and Central intersect in Albuquerque.
Yes.
But you're on the north side of the street,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yep. We're right there at that intersection of Zuni and Central, just on the north side, which is General Chenault. The south side is Zuni. So we're right there.
So again, I'm not going to divide up who answers what question, but I might point at Anthony, because off air we're talking about, most of us are thinking, okay, we're talking about young people under 18 years old. And we know it's both boys and girls are being trafficked.
Yes.
But Anthony said something shocking to me in the last break, and that is you're talking about six-year-old children in some cases.
Yes.
And you have rescued some young children.
Like we have. My team has. And not just in the metro area, throughout the state.
Yes.
And so, some things to look for. And so one of my initiatives at the beginning of last year, and actually, and the Attorney General is, as we pushed even further, that we train, all educators and staff. Mm-hmm. So back to school last year, we did trainings in Santa Fe, two here in the metro area, and then, several down in the Las Cruces area, trying to catch all staff members at the schools. Because sometimes our teachers, our nurses, the staff at the school, the janitors, they're going to be our eyes and ears. And some of these children, again, are in plain sight. They may go to school. And then when they get off school and they go home for the night, their guardian or their parents are having them do something completely different. So some of those indicators is, you know, a small child, maybe in grade school, has fallen asleep in class, poor hygiene. poor nutrition, looks like they haven't eaten for quite some time. Poor social skills. They really don't have any friends. You know, they go on the playground and they kind of just keep to themselves. Or they make inappropriate comments, sexual comments to other children close to their age. They're not even sure what their own physical address is. They may be moved around. I mean, they may be moving from motel to motel, or could be, living in someone else's home or sleeping on a couch, or they're just really not sure what their actual physical address is. So a lot of those are indicators. We've worked with some schools where they actually put together backpacks for some of these children on Friday, and they send a backpack full of snacks home because sometimes that's all the food that child's going to get until they come back to school on Monday. Mm-hmm. So just looking for those indicators and then involve social services. We've been working very close with CYFD. We helped develop a curriculum to train all investigators at CYFD. So one of the things that our office does see now, that is CYFD, they go out on an investigation and they determine that something may seem more than it may be a trafficking incident. They'll notify my team as well, and then we get involved, or the jurisdiction that it's occurring. And this is for the entire state. Mm. So just being the eyes and ears and looking for those indicators is important. Another thing that I've told law enforcement around the state, that if children run away, ask why they run away. I was a patrol officer for years, and I get a call that a child ran away, and I'd find them and I go, "What are you doing? You need to go back home." And that's the first thing I do, is to take them right back. What are they running away from? Ask that question. Mm-hmm. Are they running away from something? I mean, of course there's going to be children out there that are just going to be, didn't get their way, you know, and sure, they're going to run away. But there are other children out there that are in a bad situation and maybe being trafficked, and they need someone to step in. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that we've heard from the victims that we've worked with throughout the years is that law enforcement has been right in front of them, but they just didn't ask the right question. We've heard that with medical. We've heard that with social services. We just didn't have the right question. We didn't ask the right questions, and they were just looking for that outlet. They were looking for that out so they could say the right thing and then be pulled to that situation.
And Anthony, you're about to go to the New Mexico legislature and do a little training.
Well, I'm going to go up there and speak with them about some of the things we're seeing in our state and the great work that law enforcement and victim services are doing together in our state, and how we work as a collaborative effort. So I'll get a chance to actually speak with them about that and present to them all the great things we're doing and all the support we get from as a collaborative effort. But unfortunately, what we're still seeing on the law enforcement side is that with service providers, they just don't have the funding sometimes. So we've had cases where I've called one of our service providers and say, "Hey, look, I need a bed for this victim, and there isn't anything available." Hmm. Not with Shelley's group, but we've had it in the past with an adult victim, and that is a concern.
Sure. Well, I know that the mayor, Tim Keller, is trying to come up with a plan for, you know, increasing the number of beds, and at least I've heard that they're not necessarily planning that way out on the west side where their facility is now, because it's kind of removed. I don't know the details, but I understand, and we're going to try to get someone from the mayor's office in, and I'm sure they consult with you. And, Anthony, one other question. I know Shelley is in touch with other people in other states and talking a little bit about how things are handled, but does the AG's office also, I know you're connected with law enforcement. Do other people in the country have things that they try that you might deploy here in New Mexico?
Oh, yes, definitely. So we work with other, we actually have conference calls once a month with other task forces around the country, which include service providers, mm-hmm, and we discuss what they're doing in their state. Some great ideas have come out of that. So some of the things that I've implemented here, I've just taken from other states. Mm-hmm. My team and I have traveled to Texas to look at their shelters there and their services they're providing. We've traveled to Arizona just to determine. As I mentioned earlier, I was in Canada last year working with them on vicarious trauma. While I was there, I looked at some of the services and what they're providing to their homeless, their runaways, and possible victims of trafficking.
With people that are immigrating to this country, not necessarily legally, are a lot of those kids being exploited?
Yes. So we're working with a group right now that's actually on the border working with the churches And a lot of the groups that are taking those individuals that are coming across the border that are waiting to be sponsored or waiting to go to someone that's sponsoring them, what we do see is the traffickers do they'll pick out some of these vulnerable individuals. Many times they're women and children, their families. They're looking for some place to go. And they'll approach them and say, look, I can be your sponsor. I can help you get somewhere. And in fact, their intentions are to traffic them. Mm. So we, the Attorney General's office actually has now put a victim service person in our Las Cruces office. She's doing it. Her name's Terry Madrid. She's based at, again, our Las Cruces office. She's working in the southern part of the state. She's meeting with law enforcement, other service providers, and along the border, and helping them understand that we are there to provide them support and whatever they may need. And if there's any questions, we'll be there.
If you're listening today and you have questions about what's going on with the state attorney general's office, you can go to NM for New Mexico, AG for Attorney General, nmag.gov. And the website is pretty comprehensive about, you know, what's going on. And then, Shelley, how do folks get in touch with you? Through your website?
Yep, through our website, NM, like New Mexico, dreamcenter.org. And we're happy to take calls. And we do a lot of work in the community as well and with the faith community and churches, trying to get the word out about what kind of things you can look for, what kind of things you can do as a community as well to support these folks.
Well, there's a certainly a more pervasive problem than I would have ever imagined. And every time we get together, I'm overwhelmed with the number of people that are just being trafficked. And when you make statements like, oh, well, this child was being trafficked by their parents, or a younger sibling trafficked by their older brother or sister, I'm just in shock. That kind of stuff is happening.
It really is. And it's really eye-opening. You know, when Anthony was talking a little bit ago about, you know, some of the things to look for, you know, the way that I think about it is we have common sense. If there's something that doesn't look right, it's probably not right. That doesn't mean it's going to be trafficking.
Right.
It could be drugs. It could be abuse. It could be something else. But if something doesn't look right, it's probably not right.
Yeah.
Let's make a call. Let's try to help a kid.
Right. Well, and the indicators, like you've said, are, you know, they're malnourished, they're tired, they're this and that. But again, you're not just talking about older, like teenagers, you're talking about young children who are absolutely, well, I guess everybody's kind of defenseless. I mean, this is just an overwhelming thing.
Okay. Right.
Do I have time to say one
yes,
thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So one of the things that I saw, with some of the schools and everything is that there was a kiddo who was being trafficked by her family. It was something the family had been kind of involved in this business. Mom had been trafficked. I mean, it was something that had gone back for generations and generations. And so this kiddo was in school until it became too difficult for her to stay in school because teachers were calling in. You know, there were reports and all of these things. And so what ended up happening is the family actually pulled her out of school and started homeschooling. And she literally disappeared off of the radar at that point. And so that's kind of a, you know, something that we have to be aware of is that, you know, people will do some pretty shifty things to keep a income stream like what was happening with this kiddo.
Right. Yeah. And do these folks make a lot of money?
Oh my word. If you didn't make a lot of money, I don't think you would do it. But right. I read something, Anthony, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was something like if you sell a person 10 times a day, how much it was. And it ended up within a week, it was like over $100,000 a week.
Yes.
With like one person, one human trafficking victim. I can't remember if that exactly what that was.
I don't know the exact numbers, but you're right, though. I mean, because it used to be drugs, but drugs are it's something that goes away, right? It's and it's a commodity that's gone. Where a human being, they can continue to abuse them.
Yep.
Anthony Mays, Special Agent in Charge, New Mexico AG's office, and Shelley Rep with the New Mexico Dream Center. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having
Happy
us.
Happy Thanksgiving in the midst of this difficulty, and we'll pray that this goes away.
Yes.
And we'll fight against it. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
You.
Thank you.
ABQ
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.